respect outer from physical body, bowing and prostrations, making offering prostrations to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. It is a form of respect, physical part of the practice. Nga kubi chamdo, recitation of a sacred mantra is a form of respect through your speech or verbally or speech. Ye kubi thing in Zen, as we sit in the meditation cushion, and upright, and use some of these Virochana gestures. Virochana gesture or different positions, sitting, cross-legged, spine had to be like arrow straight, mind had to be calm and clear, and relaxed, spacious. A part of samadhi, part of meditation, is a form of respect out of mind, out of your mind. So three types of respect, body, speech, and mind. It seems that these are the only three so-called three gates, G-A-T-E-S, gates, where all good things come from. On the contrary, all bad things also produced or created from these three gates. And what are these three gates? Body, speech, and mind. So Buddhists, when they do prostrations doing their altar, shrine room, temple, monastery, is utmost respect. It's not punishing you. It's not torturing you. It's not want to find out how your flexibility is. None of those. It's just totally, voluntarily, out of respect. And a part of that respect has something to do with the spiritual energy, spiritual entity. And everybody do have some degree of spiritual entity. Just some might have bigger than others. So we're going to meditate, sit upright before actually talk. As I was talking yesterday at the Denton Dharma students community, that you exhale, inhale, normal speed, exhale. As I'm talking, why don't you practice? Exhale, then inhale. But in between, you should have little gap. In other words, little duration in between. Now, your ear absorbing the sound, or your ear alert captured the sound of the talk, but your mental activity have to be ceased. Particularly, your mind has to be focused. Where your mind is focusing, today your mind is focusing right now on your breath. So your breath we breathe all the time, but we are so distracted we don't even know we breathe. Except something happened, then you will know. Something happened with your breath. In other words, you can't exhale, inhale, you have major problem. In other words, you don't have any breath, you are gone. But if irony is, people don't think that way. People, very vulnerable. Life is very vulnerable. People don't think that way, except they think they're struggling with their life, and everything seems very hard to deal with it. People don't realize they are entire existence of life is a matter of one breath. It's a matter of one breath that does not circulate, it's gone. It's called corpse. No matter how good looking you are, no longer useful. No matter how handsome or beautiful you are, nobody gonna be sleep next to you. Period. In fact, they scare hell of you. What happened? Minute ago you were fine, and minute after you're no longer in the same one. It's that bad. So don't tell me you don't understand your breathing, breath, because breath is sign of living, walking, talking. It's a sign of life. You have breath. So focus on your breath. Exhale, inhale. In the beginning, you might do a little bit longer exhale, inhale. After 21 repetitions, slowly you breathe normally. This practice is handy. You might need more than I can talk, because situation and the news or something happened in your life, you will know your breathing is not normal. Your breathing is not so normal. It will be different. It's instrumental. It's a tool that all living beings possess, and you can use that as a tool and meditate. Exhale. And mind alertness. Go out with the exhale. When you inhale, come with it. In between, you don't distract it. You don't take a break during meditation. You be with your breath. This practice will reduce a lot of anxieties, stress. To me, it also reduces negative emotions. Big negative emotions become smaller negative emotions by exercising breathing regular basis, 5 to 15 minutes, even it takes half hour. You have lots of time to confuse your life, and you don't have time to practice something very helpful for you. If your mind is not calmed down, nothing is calmed down. Your body will act strangely. Accuracy is not very good. Physical activities. Because your mind was distracted. Relationship between mind and body is so strong. In fact, every movement happening with the physical part of the body has nothing else to do other than the mind's comment. Comment means comments you, or mind orders you. The mind tells you to do. Mind's movement, based on your mind's movement, you do everything. The quality of the mind's judgmental, or mind's perceptions, has a lot to do with the quality of your physical activities. In other words, the quality of fulfillment of activities that we engage has a lot to do with quality of the boss, the king, the mind of yours. We all have the minds. Just someone more confused than others. So, let's work on your mind. Focus on a breath, your own breath, not somebody else, your own breath. Accompany when you exhale, accompany when you inhale, in between, perfect meditation. What is perfect meditation? A perfect meditation is rest in a natural state where there is no artificial. There is no turnip. It's just a pure gold or pure silver or pure diamond or pure silk. Organic, natural. So, that will be the perfect meditation. As long as you don't mix anything. As long as you don't contaminate. If you don't contaminate, if you don't mix with the chemicals, if you don't mix with unwanted, you don't mix with harmful things. People are very good to mix with harmful things in their mind. And people don't know the helpful things need to keep in the mind. They don't know how to do that. They only know one thing, is confused. And how long they're confused? Since the beginningless time. Have they ever not confused? They think they are not confused, but that doesn't mean they are not confused. They're confused. And because it is another way of saying they're asleep, they're not awake, they're asleep. So how are you going to wake if you work on your mind? So let's meditate. Exhale, inhale. Perhaps exhale all your anxiety, negative emotions. Exhale. Inhale, healing, energy. And you want to know where the healing energy comes from. The healing energy comes from emptiness. And why healing energy come from emptiness? We are also come from emptiness. Where we are going, we are also blend into emptiness. Nobody knows where we are going. Nobody knows where we came from. Everybody believe they know they exist. They think they know. They're not sure why they're here. But everybody feel they know something. But they don't know real answer. They don't know real answer. They can presume, they can guess, they can speculate. We're good at doing that. Are we doing that for a long, long time? One problem is we are not getting anywhere. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. So, I'm working, talking from the book called The Stillness, Insight, Emptiness, the Lama D. Dodje, very famous Lama. His book about meditation. So if you're crazy enough to buy, I'm crazy enough to sign for you that book. And I'm teaching from that particular book today. It's on a page, hopefully I can find, 84, page 84. Basic goodness and meditation. So I open up the page and no particular reason, but randomly I open up. We're going to talk about basic goodness and meditation. What it means from the Buddhist scripture and the doctrine of Buddha Dhamma stated that all living beings, their nature of mind is basically perfect and good. It is just the surrounding, environment, conditions, situations make you do things, or in other words, you don't have choice except you have to follow the what everybody is doing. In other words, your Buddha nature, your innate, your mind, your ultimate, the essence of your mind itself is a perfectly pure and nothing needed from outside, and nobody need anything. In other words, you got what all enlightened beings, including the God and Goddess, the angels, the devils, the good ones, the bad ones, everybody, what their essence is, you got the same type of essence. Basically, it means that. If that is the case, so why everybody not acting like an enlightened society? That there is no fight, that there is no dispute each other. They're not destroying each other. Why they're destroying each other? Why we have so much bias from nation to nation? And then even color of the people's skin, even gender. I mean, everybody so biased my way or the highway, or you have to be like one like me in order me to accept you as a part of like same level. You have to be look like me, you have to talk like me, you have to be appear to be like me, then I can accept. But anything a little different, I cannot accept. This is a majority living beings, and I'm of course talking about the more or less humans only. More or less humans only. So there's a lot of tremendous discriminating, biased. Guess what? I don't blame them because that's all they got. So I can't blame them that you are biased because that's all they got. That's ultimately what they see, what they feel is they following that. So you can't blame them what they believe, their system. You can't blame them. If you ever want to blame, you should blame the fundamental mistaken concept, not knowing right from wrong, not knowing truth is. Well, everybody like to know the truth, but then problem is everybody truth is a little different. The truth, everybody is a little different. So, multiple beliefs, systems of multiple belief, how we can put together? So, according to Buddha, is multiple belief truth is acceptable for multiple believers. Because they are all dealing with the relative truth, relatively truth. So the relative truth, it's a word in Tibet called kunzup. Kunzup means not really. So in other words, we believe something not really. And I don't blame, because the real thing is not perceived by a confused state of mind. So anyway, that is the highlight of how we become part of biased, discriminating each other. So basic goodness and meditation. The meditation here, I want you to know that all living beings are equally important, equally precious, that including yourself. So don't think you're excluded, that you're included. So all living beings we need to cherish, all living beings we need to value them. If you can't value them more than your own value, but at least you value all living beings as valuable as yourself. If you are worth anything, if you are worth anything, all living beings we hold of and the same level of you. That's all I ask for. That's all Buddha asks you. So that is a part of the meditation here. Basic goodness. Meditation. All beings possess a Buddha nature. What do you mean? All beings possess Buddha nature. It means all living beings, you can be good if you want to. You can be bad if you want to. Basically, it means you have potential to do good things. You have potential to do bad things. Well, question is, how are you going to choose? That's up to you. After all, your life is your responsible. Your action is your responsible. It's not the third person or fourth person's responsible. It's your responsible. So here, all beings possess a Buddha nature, sort of luminosity perfection of basic goodness that resides at the core of all living beings. Core to all living beings have basic goodness. Chandrakirti, the great Mahapandita, learned and enlightened Bodhisattva, says, what will be the logic that we have a basic goodness? What will be the logic, the how we know we have basic goodness? His answer was, living beings strive to be happiness and cause of happiness, comfort. If they're longing for that, that shows you have basic goodness. In other words, that you notice that you have pain and suffering, problems. That means you're not the problem in pain and suffering. Logic. The reason you're not pain and suffering is if you are pain and suffering by birth itself, you don't feel like to free from that because you're already what you are. Who you are. But you're not pain and suffering, therefore you like to be free from that. In other words, you have problem, but you recognize you have some problem. That shows problem is not you. Problem is a temporarily obstacle on you. You're not the problem. You need to separate that. That was the Nagarjuna logic. If you're longing for happiness, free from suffering, that means you're not part of the suffering. The suffering has nothing to do with you. It was a temporarily obstacle on you. At this point in our development, we may not perceive the full brilliance of that perfection. For clouds of ignorance. Ignorance is a fundamental seed of samsara. In other words, we believe we know many things, but the fact is we know nothing is a problem. Because ignorant, not knowing, is 1,000 times bigger than knowing anything. Even though what we think we know, or may not know anything. Knowing many things, not knowing important things. Important things is, life is important for everybody. We don't know why we're born. Life is important, but we don't know when we're going to lose. And we don't know what obstacles are on your way. We don't know how you can make happy life. Your life going to be abundance of food, friends, just busy, distracted, but happy. How can you maintain that kind of, you don't know how to do that either. Most fundamental problem is what take you, your dignity, your light, luminosity part of you, your karma, degenerate. What makes it degenerate? You don't know. You don't know what makes your life promotion. The standardize is maybe there's no word. That's a standard. Upgrade. So, talking with that real estate, if you live in a $300,000 house, it's a time you for to buy a $400,000 house. And that, you can relate with that. So that will upgrade. Well, why don't you upgrade your happiness? Your happiness. Your quality of your life, your activities that you engage, relations that you have with your near and dear ones, why not you take in a second level? Upgrade. So, we don't know how to do that either. So, those are we need to homework. So it says, a negative afflictive emotions that result from that ignorance. Ignorance is like dark house, dark night. Then you are surrounded with some wild wolves and want to eat you because they see you, it's a potential good barbacoa. And luckily, you have bow and arrow. But the problem is you can't see anything around. So until your arrow run out, you're shooting on the right side, left side of you, wherever you think that the wolf is. Most times, they don't hit on the target, by the way. I don't blame you because you don't see clearly. Isn't it this most things we do, similar situation? Most things we decide in our life, isn't this a similar situation? You take a chance, you give a shot to see what happens. It is important that we realize that our basic goodness is like the sun at noontime. The reason I say noontime, it will be fully covered with the sunlight on you. In other words, there's no dark shadows. So, the full noontime sun is a fully, so that your mind is something like that, fully. But no matter how dark and heavy the clouds that fill the sky may be, they cannot completely darken the light of the sun. So something like today, it must be clouded, but we can feel, we can believe there is sun behind. Otherwise, we wouldn't get this much light, even though we don't get any direct light. That represents your basic goodness in you, and everyone possesses basic goodness. Just so, no matter how heavy and dark the obstacle to obscurations to our basic goodness, they can never completely block the light of Buddha nature. So despite of how confused and how angry you are, how frustrated you are, how tired you are, you manage to come listen here today. That proves your basic goodness says, I have to do something, I have to learn something. Maybe I might luckily by accident learn how to meditate. It was not intentionally, but accidentally I learned how to meditate. Those kind of things happen all the time. We can also think of our mind as a basic goodness, as a perfect, beautiful, white garment that has become stained by the mud of afflictive emotions. You can know white clothes get dirty easier. So the white cloth, the basic whiteness is pure, but temporarily they have some mud reflection on a dirty cloth, basically. It can be washed. And the process of washing is the same of process of meditate and process of take responsible your action. You take your responsible your action. You don't take responsible whole world problem. You take your world. You take your own world problem. You are responsible. In other words, world of your is your responsible. The world of others is not your responsible. Although many people distracted with everything what's happening, whole world, and it bothers so much. They sleep with that problem, they walk with that problem, they breathe with that problem. I'm telling you, that's not a solution, except you're supporting. And you're telling me you don't like war, you don't like wars going on, but silently, quietly, you're supporting them. How are you supporting them? You're going crazy here, complaining, talking about how bad things this. And everybody hear what you're complaining, they're all worried and concerned. So what else the support you need? You're making really worse and worse all the time. You're not the world. Begins since evolution start. You and I cannot stop. In fact, they don't even know you even exist. And after we're gone, we're not going to be end. And I found out, realize it's not enlightened society. It is a samsara. And And the animal kingdom, the weak one must go. And the human kingdom, the weak ones captured by the strong ones. You like it or not, there is not much choice of it. That's how the surviving evolution. Ambrose, hundreds of Ambrose, kings, consolidated into 50, then 20, then 10, then next thing is a 5, then next thing is a like 2, and then finally 2 become 1. Isn't history do that? To me, what I know a little bit about history, it looks like that to me. So the stronger one always takes. And a kingdom of the animal realm also strong ones end up eating all of them. The last is only one or two left. So duration, they last a little longer than the others. That is the case. So we want to change that. By the name of Christianity, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhism, Taoism, Judaism, all those are leaders. It seems that they fail to change anything. But they manage to find many followers. Secular. And you and I cannot really do either one of them or either those kind of things. So why we complaining? Do something about it. Instead of complaining about it. What you need to do, if you don't like it, don't participate. Keep distance. Don't complaining, because complaining means you're practicing negative emotions. Practice the positive activities. So that's my advice. That's my good advice. Therefore, they too can be removed with enough disciplines, effort, and diligence, the work that must be done, the white cloth, the stain need to be washed. The washing to remove the minds of strain that obscured our basic goodness is meditation. It's a meditation action. We can apply ourselves to performing all sorts of tantric methods. We're not going to talk about tantric today. Such as sadhana practice, liturgies, meditation, to try to remove the stains of negative karma. However, without the basic disciplines of mind that comes with the practice of meditation or shamatha, those tantric practice will not have the power to effect the change. We need to wash the stains from our basic goodness to clear away the clouds that obscure the full brilliance of our Buddha nature. There are very few great beings who, due to an accumulation of merit and sharpening of faculties from the practice of previous lifetime, may be able to step immediately onto the tantric path. The highest advanced practices are most people like about. If you are not a good practitioner of your previous life, they very difficult to understand, and you will feel they don't make sense to you. And the more you feel like it doesn't make sense to you, it's a more miles far way to understand that for you. And on the contrary, the more it makes a homecoming and fulfill, like makes sense to you, that you have some kind of practice, recollection in the previous your life. And when we're talking about the fortunate, immediately understand Dharma right away, and versus majority of people don't understand what they're talking about, months, years later, go, oh, that means that. I didn't know that. I just go there because I'm just a lonely guy. So I go there and listening, and it seems fun. But it's not I learn anything. I just go there, and it's fun. Fun for Sunday, as long as they invite me and no charge, it's good. Of course, none of you apply that, but however, without the basic goodness of mind that comes with the practice of meditation, this tantric practice will not have the power to effect the change. We need to wash the stains from our basic goodness. To clear away the clouds that obscure the full brilliance of our Buddha nature. There are very few great beings who, due to accumulation of merit and the sharpening of faculties, sharpening of faculties from the practice of previous lifetime, may be able to step immediately onto tantric path with the great results. Well, those tantric practitioner, if you are tantric practitioner in a previous life and you happen to be here now, you will see Lama D. Dorje, very beautiful person. And if you don't see that, you're gone. You're not one of that. That doesn't mean we don't like each other. It just, what happened is the level of your perceiving level of you, the level of quality of the camera takes a picture, quality of the picture. And it's coming from you rather than me. So when you say good things about me, my honest answer will be, good for you, good for you. You see those good things, wonderful, wonderful. I didn't say, oh yeah, that's me. No, I didn't say that. I said, wow, good for you. You see all some kinds of good things that must be coming, your quality inside you. However, most of us must first tame our mind, monkey mind, confused mind, crazy mind, sad mind, and hopping, jumping mind, and the mind I call a monkey mind, because a monkey seems like moving all the time, although some monkeys are moving too slow. So the monkeys who are moving very fast all the time, and those kind of monkey. So that one of the examples, the fast moving monkey is the four windows in the four direction room, and you put the monkey inside, and we will have four or five people standing on each window side. And every window, there is one monkey. It's not poor monkey there. It was one monkey. So how would that happen? The monkey moved really fast to the one window, other window. And maybe he tried to get out, or maybe his mind is want to be at next window, the other window. Now, if you happen to be your mind like this, you are serious need meditation. Serious, you need to calm down. You need to watch where you walk. You need to think what you're doing. You need to control. You need to work on your thoughts. You need to work on your mind. However, most of us must first tame our mind so that the higher tantric techniques can be integrated into our practice with the greater effect. Well, that was the presentation and the page 50, poor and a defiled. Now, if you remember anything what I say, if you don't remember, then exercise, the breathing exercise, exhale, inhale, and we're going to meditate. If you remember the talk, you need to reflect the talk in the meditation. So it seems that meditation helps many different ways, and one of them is meditation helps your mind much calmer, and consequently, when you're calm, your mind more stronger. And when I say stronger, in sense, when I say stronger, what I mean is the day-to-day activities and obstacles that you face, F-S-E-E, face, seems easier to get through. That's one of them. Also, meditation improves your quality of perception. The more you come and clear, the better your perception is. What are we talking about? Perception. We're talking about what you see others. Perception means I look at you, you look at me. So when I look at you, I see more clear and better quality. When the mind is on the wrong place and confused, we perceived everybody is not so good quality. As I said earlier, the quality of the camera has a lot to do with the quality of the picture. You can take your cell phone, iPhone, the more expensive ones, maybe better picture, but that's my guess. And this camera of yours and ours also take a picture all the time. We take picture, many thousands of pictures every day. And the quality is improved, you enjoy more every day. And more enjoy, more means more satisfaction in life. And more everything good. So anyway, what I want to say is, if you meditate, if you are one of those you think that I'm making sense to you, then you put 15, 20 minutes every day meditate, and then come to the Sunday here, you will, by accident, you might learn something. I should not expect that you will learn everything perfectly. By, as I say, accident means by it happened to be learned. Then that's your homework practice. Please bring all the kids.